Think of this. Think of her. Think of her.
From TCI, this is Enter the Deuce, and I am your host, Patrick Brady. In our final episode, with a full year of life under Matthew's belt, I take stock of how far he has come, as well as some of the lingering after effects of his time in the NICU. February 22nd, 2014, first birthday. I knew this day was coming. I was even looking forward to it, for marking a year is how we celebrate endurance. Still, as I typed the title, I found myself getting choked up. Those words, enter the deuce, take me back to a place scarier than the underside of any car, harder to fathom than any prose written in the Middle Ages. But they are also a reminder of how thousands upon thousands of people I don't know, not to mention hundreds that I do know, read with rapt attention about Matthew's difficult entry to this world. And the reason those days are still so difficult, the reason that despite our relief at his blossoming, is both simple and yet inverted. 50 years ago, he wouldn't have survived his first hour. But now, a year later, he's so much more than he was that morning. He's got a personality that is happy, sunny enough to engage even people who don't like babies, and an appetite that seems to be a rebellion against all that time on a feeding tube. This is what we almost didn't get. The more he is, the more I see what we would have lost. And so, how is he? He's fine, in broad strokes. He has no lingering issues from the chylothorax effusion, that leaky doohickey that collapsed his right lung and forced the NICU to recommend what was ultimately a very successful surgery. That said, all that time in the NICU on his back in the isolette meant that he was starved for human interaction, and he became very proficient at turning his head right and looking up so he could see his nurses when we weren't there, which was a hell of a lot of time, given the best we could do was usually only 10, maybe 11 hours per day. And there were days I missed. That still hurts. So our little deuce was really good at turning his head to the right and looking up. Turning his head left? Well, on that, his performance was, shall we say, lackluster. We couldn't fault him. All the incentive was at his right. It also meant that his head was a bit misshapen, a bit flat on the back and to the right, and his right ear was forward of his left ear, and it stuck out a bit in comparison. So there has been some physical therapy and a bunch of exercises, and any time I hold him, I try to position him so that he will have to turn to his left to see what's going on. We visited with a doctor for a helmet evaluation to reshape his head, and she said he was on the bubble, diagnosis-wise. Ultimately, she recommended against it, telling us that by the time he enters kindergarten, he'll be fine. Honestly, we've seen such an improvement just in the last 2 months, I have to really look to find the issues. He looks like a normal baby. All that time in the isolette had another effect on him. He started moving around much later than most babies, and the fact that he'd picked up a fair amount of weight with no corresponding increase in strength meant that he was really behind in learning how to roll over, sit up, and crawl. As a matter of fact, he's only managed to start getting his knees under himself in the last week. So he's a bit behind developmentally. That could have happened even without the NICU, so I'm not worried. But Kaiser doesn't care if I'm worried or not. We were sent to a doctor for yet another evaluation, And when he expressed his concern of Matthew's lack of strength, I offered my perspective, which was that he'd experienced a 50% increase in body weight with no corresponding increase in strength. I ended it by saying, "Seems to me he's gravity's bitch. What do you say we give him some time to get stronger?" In my last post about Matthew, I shared that he had a couple of visible scars and my hopes for how they might fade over time. I'm pleased to say that the last time I made an effort to look, all I could find was the biggest of them, at the incision site for the tube that drained the fluid from his chest. Now, if I can just get him to sleep through the night. Epilogue. Matthew will turn 10 in less than 2 months' time. He's a funny kid with an excellent deadpan delivery. He's not the athlete his brother is, but his problem-solving skills, as seen in online games and puzzles, wows me. And though he likes to wear his hair long, when I look at him, I see my father as much as I see myself. When I'm at cycling industry functions, I will often see friends who read the series of posts back in 2013, when this was present tense, and they will ask, "How's the deuce?" It's a relief to be able to tell people who were kind enough to support me and us through that time that he is fine and has no lasting ill effects from that time. That's not entirely true, though. Matthew is fine physically. I can still see the scar from the chest tube, but it's faint. He does carry other scars, however. He was late to speak, and when he was 3, I had to take him to speech therapy twice a week for months. More significant is how highly strung his nervous system is. He's easily overwhelmed and highly reactive to any physical pain. It's hard to say just why, but I correlate those responses to how he reacted every time a nurse drew blood or poked him for some other reason. I've done some research on somatic body work and plan to enlist a somatic healer to work with him in the next year. Our family suffered some collateral damage as well. My marriage ended, and while ours didn't end for any one reason, the stress of Matthew's time in the NICU left a lasting scar on our marriage, one we were unable to heal. When I look back on that time, I think on several major takeaways. First, NICU nurses are a special breed. Their powers for empathy border on the supernatural, and there is no way they are fairly compensated for all that they provide. It's a specialty akin to hospice care that is most accurately termed a calling. Also, for every interaction that Kaiser Permanente got right, they face-planted as well. Their inability to correlate me to my son because their system only allowed the mother's last name on his records and not also his father's is an irritant that they dispense to others on a daily basis. It's an obvious screw-up that owes to the patriarchy, that is, a woman taking the last name of her husband. Their other major screw-up was that following weekly check-ins from Kaiser's social worker, it was only the day before Matthew was released that she looked at the computer in my lap and asked what I was writing. I told her I was writing about our experience and had been writing about our experience during his entire stay. She asked, "Oh, so you've been journaling?" To which I replied, "No, this is for a blog I publish." To which she clarified, "Oh, like for your family and friends?" She wasn't getting it, so I shared that by that time, I'd had more than 250,000 people read at least one of the posts. Her eyelids disappeared, and she visibly blanched. Now, I write nonfiction. I don't often call myself a journalist, but my job is to report on reality. Her alarm surprised me and suggested they worried that I might be blasting them in public. They confirmed this suspicion a couple hours later when they assembled a conference with the social worker, the head of the NICU, and the head nurse. I pointed out that they could have avoided the shock if they'd simply expressed some interest in why I was almost always typing when they saw me. I gave them the site's URL and heard nothing more. Kaiser could have done a far better job of communicating the cost of Matthew's care. To this day, I don't know the dollar figure attached to his stay. We applied for a program for families that lack independent wealth. I provided them a couple of tax returns, and one day I received a phone call telling me our application was approved and his bill evaporated. On balance, I think Kaiser did a pretty great job. I mean, our son had a deadly defect, and we got to take him home following 6 weeks of ongoing terror. There wasn't much they could do about our terror, but they fixed our boy. I was interested in pursuing a larger feature about our experience for a general interest magazine. But when I made inquiries with Kaiser's PR office, I was stonewalled, then ignored. That was a fail on their part. I would have happily praised them for all they got right, and my criticisms of our experience would not have been specific to Kaiser. What I would say to any nurse listening is that they can never know too much about their patient. And for any nurse working with children, they can never learn too much about the parents either. For any parent who faces a life-threatening situation with their kid, get counseling. That goes double for couples. The statistics on marriage survival following a child's long-term hospital stay are dismal. The longer the stay, the more likely the marriage is to fail. I think healthcare systems should be frank with parents about this and do all they can to steer parents into counseling, not art projects. And let's be real, a 15-minute bedside chat with a social worker is a band-aid on a severed artery. Thanks for listening. And for all of you who have reached out to tell me how powerful this has been for you, thank you. And I'm sorry I made you cry. You have bestowed upon me a kindness, one I'll be grateful for to the end of my life. This concludes the podcast, Enter the Deuce. Thank you for listening. Before I go, I'd like to thank John Lewis for his suggested edits and Stephanie Lancaster, who designed our logo. Enter the Deuce has been a production of the Cycling Independent. Our motto is, if you ride bikes, you're one of us. Find us on the web at cyclingindependent.com or on Facebook at The Cycling Independent. And if you are a cyclist, be sure to check out our other podcasts, The Pace Line, which I co-host with John Lewis, and Revolting, hosted by John Lewis and Steve Knievel of All Hail the Black Market. Again, thank you for listening. If you like this independent production and want to show your support, you can stop by The Cycling Independent and subscribe or make a one-time donation. There is a link in our show notes. Enter the Deuce is underwritten by the Shimano Corporation.